would you stand and worship the Lord with us?
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Creation cries, holy, you believe.
in this place, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, Jesus, with all creation. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's a picture of the praise that's going on in heaven right now. The Apostle John sees that vision in the book of Revelation of the throne room of God filled with angelic beings. The people of God from throughout the ages spread out through all of heaven. And the whole of heaven is worshiping the Lord and glorifying and praising Him, magnifying Him. Chapter 4 of the book of Revelation is so powerful as we hear those words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But can I tell you a secret about the book of Revelation? It all gets a whole lot better when we get to chapter 5. Chapter 4 is the picture of that great, powerful worship service taking place, but chapter 5 in the book of Revelation introduces Jesus to us, the one who died for our sins and rose again from the dead, our Savior, our Redeemer there in heaven. And the song changes in chapter 5. In chapter 4, we hear, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In chapter 5, we come to, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power. For He has redeemed us. He's brought us to be a kingdom of priests from every kindred, every tribe, every people, every nation. He's brought us together as the family of God through His powerful redeeming work on the cross of Calvary. This morning as we stand here in the house of God, we are standing here not only as worshipers, but as people who have been redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ. For those of us who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, our sins, our past have been washed away. The roadblock, the barrier that stood between us and God, the roadblock of sin, has been forgiven and removed. And we're able to come and stand here in the presence of the Lord, experiencing His favor, His grace, His love being poured out upon us in abundance. That's why we have the privilege of coming together and praying and calling upon the Lord, not only worshiping the Lord, but calling upon the Lord to touch us in our time of need. And we do that today. As you've come into the house of the Lord this morning, surely you have needs upon your heart. We cast them upon the Lord today. We give them to the Lord. Jesus says that He's there in heaven interceding for us. We pray directly to the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus today, and our prayers are heard. I want you to know the Lord sees us and the Lord hears us today. And we're so grateful for that this morning. So we lift up one another today and pray that God would touch us. This has been a season of sickness for many in our congregation. Lots of stuff going around Jefferson City. Pastor Bob was scheduled to preach this morning here in the sanctuary, but yesterday, Pastor Deanna, began to experience very severe pain through a sciatic situation and has just been in tremendous pain these last couple of days. They've been to the emergency room. Bob is tending to her this morning. You'll have to settle for the substitute this morning for preaching today. But we lift up Bob and Deanna, pray that God will touch Deanna powerfully and heal her today and supply exactly what they need this morning. And for others in our church family who are dealing with struggle and sickness and pain, we pray the Lord would touch them right now. Jesus declared, "These signs shall follow them that believe." We'll look at that scripture in a few moments today. But Jesus said healing would come for believers, and we trust the Lord for that. How many here in the house today have experienced at some point in your life a healing touch from Jesus? You knew it was from the Lord. I myself have experienced some healings in my life. I've told you about in days past, some healings that were just miraculous in nature. I wasn't dying, but the healing of what I was experiencing was miraculous in nature. But we know that the Lord is able to touch us today and minister to us right where we are. So Father God, we pray right now together as a congregation that You would touch us this morning, bring healing and strength and renewal, bring peace to those whose hearts are heavy today, comfort to those who are mourning. We pray, Lord God, for joy to be restored, the joy of the Lord to be our strength today. We pray, Father, for Deanna right now, that you would touch her, minister healing to her body, Father. Pray for Bob, that you would help him as he ministers to his wife today, supply everything they need right now. Lord, we lift up one another and ask that you would move in our midst today. You, Lord, in the book of Revelation, are the one who walks in the midst of the churches, and you are here today with us. Your presence is here. And Jesus, we declare you are alive and well, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're our Lord and our Savior, our healer, our soon coming King. And we praise and worship you this morning. We pray that you'd continue to bless us with your presence this morning as we continue throughout this worship service. Thank you for everybody who's come today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I've been in a little bit of a sad season these last couple of days. It seems that the warm weather is trying to return. And we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Those of us winter weather lovers, we're looking. I don't want rain. I don't want rain anymore. I want snow. How many of you want you want full on snow? Could I have a better amen in the house today? Yeah, yes, 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 yes. So, but we're thankful for all of God's good blessings. The rain is a blessing from the Lord to nourish us and his presence to nourish our spirits. Would you, before you're seated this morning, reach out and greet one another around you and welcome everybody to church today, please. God bless you. All right, you may be seated this morning. We want again to welcome everybody who's here today and everybody who's watching online. If you're here in the house this morning for the first time, we invite you to stop by our welcome center in the lobby after church. We'd love to connect with you and get you a little gift there, a token of our appreciation today. Thank you for being with us in church today. And this is a very special day today as we wish a very happy birthday to our worship leader, Heidi. Happy birthday, Heidi. Yes. In the first service, people were shouting out guesses about her age. I don't dare go there this morning. How many of you know she is who she is? And such a blessing to us, Heidi and the worship team. We appreciate them so much and are so grateful for their ministry among us. Now Heidi, now 17, almost 18 years as our worship leader here at First Assembly. And I know some of you are saying, well, I thought she was 18 years old. No. She's been around a while. That's as far as we'll go. We want to remind you that this Thursday evening is our 50-plus Christmas banquet in the gym. If you want more information about that, contact Nancy at the church office. Of course, Wednesday night services here at 7 o'clock with our sanctuary service and our youth services, young adult services, children's ministries next door. We invite everybody to come out Wednesday night. Also, we want to thank everybody who's participated in the Angel Tree Ministry this year. Our Angel Tree Ministry blesses children of parents who are incarcerated. We've been a part of this ministry for many years, and we want to remind you that the Angel Tree gifts are due back to the church by tomorrow. So is that right, Jackie? No, by today, but we are a church that specializes in grace. And if it's not back today, tomorrow we'll do. Bring those back if you can, please. And we appreciate your participation. We also remind you that kids choir practice is 4 o'clock this afternoon in the gym. As we're looking forward to our children providing us with a few songs next Sunday morning to celebrate the season, kids choir practice at 4 o'clock today. Would you stand one more time as we sing one more worship song before we get into the Word of God together today? Heidi, come and lead us, please, on your birthday. How about singing especially well for Heidi on her birthday today? And, of course, for the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Definitely for the Lord, yes. Yes.
Yes.
there is a King. He's seated among us. Let every heart receive Him now. For where there is praise, He will inhabit. For there will be grace and mercy all.
Today, Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 is where we'll begin reading this morning. Scripture says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. That's the name we're looking at this morning. It's the name we declare more than any other name as we come together in this house of worship week after week after week. Jesus declared in his ministry, "Where two or three of you gather together in my name, there I will be in your midst." The name of Jesus is powerful. And the name of Jesus bears special significance for us here at the Christmas season as we think about the birth of Jesus and the command of an angel given to Joseph regarding the baby Jesus who was yet to be born, and this instruction from the angel, you are to give him the name Jesus. The Christmas name is not Santa Claus. And it's not even Kris Kringle. And in case some of you think it might sound a little more spiritual, the Christmas name is not even good old Saint Nicholas. And the Christmas name is not Mary, Joseph, the angel Gabriel. The Christmas name is centered around and upon one person who was born of the Virgin Mary 2,000 years ago, given by the work of God through the Holy Spirit into that woman, and was born in a manger at Bethlehem, come to be our Lord and our Savior. His name is Jesus. The book of Hebrews tells us to fix our thoughts on Jesus. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to think about the name of Jesus. And in fact, I want to provide you this morning with seven notes about the name of Jesus. Let's say his name again for practice one more time. Say it out, Jesus. Seven notes this morning on the name of Jesus. And the first thing I would say is that Jesus is a divinely designed name. You know, we pick names using a variety of methods today. Most people today, when thinking about a baby's name, will search the internet and look for popular names. How many of you know that technology was not available then? And perhaps even then, they named children after loved ones, after grandparents, this, that, and the other. But the name of Jesus came about for that baby by a divine dispensation and a divine design from God himself. So that the name of Jesus was instructed before the baby was ever born. Listen to the mandate that we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel said to Joseph, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Give him the name Jesus. We say, well, what's significant about that name? What's significant is the meaning of the name. And we find that as we read further in verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus simply means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Now, we might think of that salvation in many different aspects, but the angel makes it clear in this context, the salvation that people are going to experience through Jesus is salvation from their sins. How many in the house today would acknowledge in all humility that you yourself have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Lift your hand, say a good amen. But how many of you are glad that your sins have been forgiven through the work and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? So when Jesus was born, his name was given intentionally to provide for us that meaning that he would be a savior and he would save people from their sins. So Jesus is a divinely designed name. The second thing I would say is that Jesus is a historically heroic name. Because the name of Jesus is connected inseparably with the name of an Old Testament hero. As we stretch way back into the pages of the Old Testament, back to around 1400 years before Jesus came along. 1400 years before Jesus, there was a man in the history of the Old Testament named Joshua. Everybody say Joshua. Now we hear those names, Joshua and Jesus. And we make note right now that the name Jesus in the New Testament is the name Joshua in the Old Testament. The Old Testament Hebrew is Joshua, and the New Testament Greek is Yeshua, which comes into our English language as Jesus. So Joshua is Jesus. Those names are the same name. That means Joshua bore that same powerful description upon his life. The Lord is salvation. Now, some people might be tempted to think, well, Jesus was named after Joshua. How many of you think that sounds about right, at least chronologically? But how many of you also know that our God is a God who lives and works and moves above and beyond time? And he is the God of prophecy. So I would have to suggest to you this morning that Jesus was not named after Joshua. In fact, I would suggest that the very opposite is true. Joshua, who came 1400 years earlier, Joshua was named after Jesus in order to be a prophetic forerunner of Jesus who was to come. And Joshua, in the pages of the Old Testament, would serve to look toward the coming Messiah who would bring salvation and rescue for God's people. Let's think about Joshua for a moment and think about why it is and how it is that Joshua and Jesus share the same name. How many of you are awake with me this morning? Say a good amen. How is it that these two men, separated by so many centuries in God's plan, bear the same name? Well, we can see it clearly as we think about Joshua's role in the Old Testament. Who was Joshua? Well, Joshua was the man who followed Moses. Moses, you remember, was called by God to bring the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt. And under Moses' leadership, the people of God came out of Egypt miraculously, and they marched out into the desert where they marched around for 40 long years. But in the course of time, as the 40 years were coming to a close, there came a leader who would follow Moses by the name of Joshua, who would actually finish the task of leading God's people from the desert into the promised land. Now think about that with me for a moment. Joshua led the people into the promised land. Now let's think about what we know about Joshua in the Old Testament. We know Joshua was a warrior. Exodus chapter 17 tells us he led the people of God in military victories. He was a warrior. We also know that Joshua tended the tent of meeting. Now let's think about that. Here's the story. Exodus chapter 33. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Where did that take place? It took place in the tent of meeting. A tabernacle and a tent designed by God and built by the people where the presence of God dwelt. The Ark of the Covenant, the cloud of God's glory in that tent of meeting. And there in that tent was the concentrated form of God. And Moses, the leader, would go into that tent and he would meet with God face to face. Imagine that. And God would speak to him. But here's what we read about Joshua in that story. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp to do his business. But his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So what do we know about Joshua? He was a warrior. And we know Joshua tended the tent of meeting and stayed in the presence of God all the time. Think about what a special person Joshua must have been to be able to stand there and stay there in the presence of God in the tent of meeting. He tended the tent. The third thing we know about Joshua is that Joshua faced the future in faith. When the promise of going into the land of Canaan was given to the people of God, many people doubted that they were ever going to be able to do that and see that. In fact, the great majority of those who tested out the promised land said, "We can't do that. We can't go there." But Joshua and one other man by the name of Caleb came back with a good report about the land and said, "Oh, yes, we can. The Lord is on our side, and the Lord will bring us into this good land he has promised us." So when everybody else was doubting what the future held, Joshua looked ahead and said, "God is able to fulfill his promise to us, and with the help of God, we're going into the promised land." So Joshua faced the future in faith. The fourth thing we know about Joshua is that he walked in wisdom. Numbers chapter 27 said, the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit, lay your hand on him. Have him stand before the priest and commission him in their presence." And Deuteronomy 34:9 says, "Now Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." So Joshua had a special touch of God's supernatural wisdom upon his life. This was no ordinary fellow, this man named Joshua. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He walked in the wisdom of God. He lived in the presence of God. He believed in the promises of God. Are you here? And he fought the battles of God. And ultimately, Joshua's claim to fame would be this last note about him. Joshua is the man who commanded and commandeered the crossing from the wilderness into the promised land. How many here today, you want to get into the promised land that God has for you? Say a good amen. Well, if that's you and you want what God has promised you, you want the blessings of God upon your life, you want the destiny that God has prepared for you, and ultimately, you want to get into the heaven that God has. How many of you want to get to the heaven that God has promised you? Say amen. Ultimately, if you want to get into the promises of God for your life, you need a Joshua who will lead you across the Chili Jordan River into the promised land of God. And that New Testament Joshua is Jesus. He is the one who leads us through the difficulty. Are you listening? Yes. Jesus is the one who leads us through the difficulties of this life and leads us all the way in to the promises God has made and the good things that God has prepared for us. You see, friends, Because of our sins and because of our frailties and because of our weaknesses and because of our doubting, we just couldn't make it into God's plan for our lives by ourselves. But thank God, God loved us so much to send us a Joshua, to send us Jesus, who would pave the way for us to get into the goodness and the favor and the blessings and the promises of God. And how many of you, you're already in a lot of it. Say amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So Jesus is a historically heroic name. Jesus is our New Testament Joshua, leading us into God's promised land. So Jesus is a divinely designed name. Jesus is a historically heroic name. Thirdly, Jesus is a sinner-saving name. After all, the angel told Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so for those who want to come for forgiveness for their sins and for the removal of the roadblock that stands between them and God, the name of Jesus is the answer. The person Jesus is the answer. The work that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And his name is the saving name. I'll add here this morning that it's the only saving name. Acts 4:12 says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If you want to be saved and get into God's plan and get to God's heaven and get to eternal life, it has to be through Jesus. He's the only one. And his name is the overwhelming name. It's a name that when preached overwhelms the bad news with good news. We see it in Acts chapter 8 verse 12 in Samaria. Philip is preaching a revival there, an evangelistic crusade. And the scripture says, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And the scripture goes on to say, there was great joy in that city. Let me tell you this, friends. When the name of Jesus begins to be preached and proclaimed and declared, great joy comes as a result. And the truth is, the name of Jesus is a name that brings blessing and life into the midst of any dark place. It's an overwhelming name, and the name of Jesus is an overpowering name, more powerful than sin and shame and darkness and death. Paul wrote to the Corinthians who had been a bunch of rank sinners. Have you ever known any of those? Have you ever been any of those? The Corinthians had been a bunch of absolutely rank, they had been rank sinners. And Paul writes to them in 1 Corinthians and says, you guys were really out there a long way away from God, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And salvation has come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, there's not a human being on the face of planet Earth that is unsavable when Jesus gets involved. He is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for him. Jesus can save the worst of sinners. Hallelujah. So his name is a divinely designed name. It's a historically heroic name. And it's a sinner-saving name. How many of you in the house today have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Lift your hand as a testimony. Say a good amen. Jesus is your Savior. If Jesus is your Savior, then I would urge you to begin to use the name of Jesus more regularly and more effectively in your own life, because my fourth point is that Jesus is a power-packed name. In fact, Jesus taught us on several occasions the urgency and the efficacy of using his name on a regular basis in the situations we face in life. When you come to a storm, you rise up and say, in the name of Jesus. When you have sickness in your body, you rise up and you declare, in the name of Jesus, heal it. Come, Lord Jesus, bring me healing. When you face the power of the devil, you certainly rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, devil. There's power in the name of Jesus. And Jesus teaches us to use his name on a regular basis. I'm confident that many of you in the house today speak the name of Jesus probably 50 or 100 times every day. You probably do. Every moment you're saying, thank you, for something you're saying, thank you, Jesus, or help me, Jesus, or come, Lord Jesus, or my, Jesus. And you're calling upon the name of Jesus. And the scripture teaches us to do that because the name of Jesus is a power-packed name for those who believe in him. Look at it in the scripture with me. We hear these parting prescriptions from Jesus as he's about to leave. In Matthew 18, he says, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Look at me. The key to the presence of God in a church service is the name of Jesus. Are you here? And it's not just an empty rendering of that name. It is a faith-filled attachment and declaration of that name. So that when we come together, we are declaring one to another, we're here under the umbrella and in the name and in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that name becomes a key to the presence of God. But Jesus went on to say that using his name would not only be a key to his presence, but would become a key to his power. Listen to what Jesus said before he went to heaven in Mark chapter 16. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Look up at me, everybody. Don't try to drive out a demon without using the name of Jesus. Are you here this morning? Don't try to do all of these things in your own name. Your own name isn't that impressive. But the name of Jesus is a powerful name. And Jesus said, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So Jesus says, when you use my name, there's access to my presence and there's access to my power. Power over the devil and demons. Power over sickness and disease, power for supernatural protection as you do the work of God. There's supernatural power in the name of Jesus. Now again, that's as we use the name of Jesus in faith and devotion. And as we live under that name, there's power in that name of Jesus. And it's a proven power. Over and over, the miracles of God have come in the pages of Scripture and in our own lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that healing that I experienced that morning. I've told the story many times about a miraculous healing I received one morning as I was getting ready for church some 30 years ago. I won't tell the whole thing, but I can tell you that the lady preacher on television, of whom I was not even really a fan, but I had the TV on. There she was. She said, I'm going to pray for those of you who are dealing with these things. And she prayed. And I said, well, if she's going to pray, I'll take it. How many of you, when you're by yourself with the Lord, you might as well let yourself get a little crazy in your face sometimes? How many of you who would never dance a jig in the church house would be willing to dance a little jig for Jesus in your living room? Yeah. Well, sometimes when we're by ourselves like that, we're not worried about what anybody else thinks. And that morning, she said, I'm going to pray over these things. And I said, oh, I'll take it. And I did something I thought I'd never do in my life. I stretched my hand toward the television. That is as unlike me as anything on earth. I said, okay, I'll take it. And what had plagued me for years of my life was gone within a few days. totally gone from my body. It was a miraculous healing as that woman prayed in the name of Jesus for those who were listening and who would trust the Lord to be healed. Thank God there's power in the name of Jesus and in the price Jesus paid for us to experience his work in our lives. I don't know about you, but until I see him face to face, I'm going to be shouting out, singing out, praising out, praying out the name of Jesus. Because I need his name in my life. There are too many things I cannot do in my own strength. I need the presence and the power of God. And the key and the ticket to that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, a divinely designed name, a historically heroic name, a sinner-saving name, a power-packed name. It's strange then that we would have to mention today that Jesus is also a regularly rejected name. Some in this world don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. In fact, the stubborn sinner rejects that name. In the pages of the New Testament, even the religious leaders rejected the name of Jesus. And they said to the apostles, don't preach in that name. Don't teach in that name. Don't mention that name. But how many of you have ever had something that was so big inside of you, you could not hold it back? And I know that's, for many of you, that's a description of how you handle gossip. But we won't go there. How many, let's put it in a little better light. How many of you have ever had such a word of good news within you that you had to tell somebody? And the apostles heard that command from the religious leaders, don't be speaking in the name of Jesus. And they responded and said, sorry, we can't help but tell about what we have seen and heard. We know Jesus personally, and we're going to tell his name all over creation. There may come a time someday in the future where we're not allowed by certain authorities to speak and to teach and to talk about the name of Jesus. I want you to know, you can't keep a real Christian from speaking out the name of Jesus. Are you here? The sinners reject that name, but the saints rejoice in that name of Jesus. They're glad to bear the name of Jesus even when persecuted. They say, no, Jesus means more to me than anybody and anything else in this world. I can't keep his name off of my lips. A power-packed name, a regularly rejected name. Ultimately, number six, Jesus is an eternally exalted name. First of all, his name is the heavenly name. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After Jesus had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now listen to this, verse 4. So Jesus became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now I think about two angels in the scriptures whose names I know. Michael, the angel Michael, and the angel Gabriel. Those were some pretty fierce angels. They were warfare angels. They were archangels. They were ministering angels. They were angels of great authority. And when we think about their names, the angel Michael and the angel Gabriel, we think about mighty spiritual beings. But the book of Hebrews tells us here that Jesus has inherited a name that is far superior even to the names of the angels. His name, Jesus, he has inherited from his Father a name that is above every name. It's the heavenly name, and it's the highest name. Philippians 2:9 says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name Jesus that is above every name. Friends, the Lord Jesus is the one who not only saves us from our sins in the here and now, but is going to lead us into everlasting life and everlasting victory. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And throughout all of eternity, we're going to be declaring the praises of the one who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus is the heavenly name, the highest name. And lastly, Jesus is the harked and heralded name. I had to get that in for the Christmas season. Jesus is the harked and heralded name. Look at Philippians 2:9 again. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you know that one day, every human being who has ever lived on planet earth will speak the name of Jesus and declare that Jesus is Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The best news in the world is that you can take the name of Jesus now and trust in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord now, so that when that day comes, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, when that day comes, it will be maybe the 35,000th time that you have declared Jesus is Lord. And what a privilege it is to declare that today about the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus is my Lord. Now, this is not all about a name, folks. The name of Jesus identifies the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus and the grace of Jesus. And everything attached to the Lord Jesus is brought together under the umbrella of his name. And today this is more than about just speaking a name or thinking about a name. This is about giving our lives to the lordship of a person, the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life, who performed great miracles, and then gave his life to die on the old rugged cross to pay the price for our sins to be forgiven, was buried in the tomb, and rose again from the dead as the living Son of God. That is Jesus. And Jesus, the scripture says, is the one who's coming again for us one of these days. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when he calls. There may be some of you here today who would say, well, I've never had a personal relationship with this one named Jesus. Well, the good news is the Bible declares whoever comes to him, he will not turn away. He has come for every person who will trust in him and surrender their lives and the lordship of their lives into his hand. And his amazing grace takes over. When I look at Jesus and I say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, rising again from the dead, I believe I'll trust you today as my Lord and Savior. When I do that, the power and the presence of God come into that mixture. And Jesus comes to live within my heart, gives me a brand new life and a brand new future and a brand new hope for heaven in my life. And that promise, that availability is here for every person who will trust in the Lord Jesus today. And so I urge you, if you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, why don't you take a first step right now by speaking his name. What? Maybe you're here and you've never had a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Why not take the first step by just speaking his name, Jesus? Can I tell you that when we speak the name of Jesus, all heaven pays attention? Do you hear me this morning? When we say Jesus, all heaven comes to attention. The Lord God Almighty comes to listen, inclines his ear when we use the name of Jesus. If you want a new life through Jesus Christ, just begin by speaking his name, Jesus. I believe something will happen even as you speak that name. And I believe as you speak that name and begin to express your trust and confidence in Jesus, a spiritual miracle is going to take place in your life. As you begin to lay your old life of sin down before him and receive the new life that he has to give to you today, Jesus. Can we together just try on that name for size again? Would you speak it out? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, what a wonderful name is the name of Jesus. And when we connect ourselves with the name of Jesus, we find, my seventh note, is that Jesus becomes a whatever, whenever, wherever name for us. So that we live all of our lives under and in the name of Jesus. Here's what Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Look up at me this morning, everybody. I came to church this morning in the name of Jesus. Are you here? I'm preaching to you this morning in the name of Jesus. When I go out and have lunch a little while later, I will have lunch with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus. How many will be glad for your lunch in the name of Jesus? Say amen. When I drive across town today, I'll drive across in the name of Jesus. I've learned that to have the name of Jesus upon my lips and within my heart and mind brings to me a closeness of the presence of God that nothing else in all this world could do. Thank God for the person of Jesus and for the powerful name of Jesus that we wear and bear and use as children of God on a regular basis. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.